Welcome to the Media Nerds Podcast. I'm Dan Vadebonker.
And I'm Kenton Larson.
Nice to see you again, Kenton, in
person. Welcome back to school.
We only had to move one edit suite to get it to work.
It's amazing.
Using this all
this probably won't work. This no one's going to hear this.
Right. Yeah, this doesn't connect.
And I should tell our listeners, we both bought our bus passes.
Yes.
So, and we have a coffee. It's just like we've never left. Ugh. It's like the same stuff we normally, the same workaday schmoes that we've always been.
That's right.
It's like we never had a holiday.
Yeah, and so of course we're going to get back to the work of our podcast, Media Nerds. This week we're going to talk about something that has really, we've been talking about a lot in our jobs as instructors and of course in my job as a journalist, and that is AI. It is the scary thing on the horizon that everyone seems to be terrified of, honestly. I don't feel like I'm that afraid of it, but a lot of people out there in our industry do. Or are, rather. So we're going to talk about the different aspects of AI, how it could possibly affect the fields that we teach into and the fields that we work in, and how it's going to affect education, which is our job, essentially. Teaching the things that we teach to our students, you know, we have to watch out for AI-created assignments now, which is a major problem, right?
Yeah, and I should ask you. You are on our AI committee. He giggles. You're the chair of it, aren't
not,
you? Aren't
not
you?
The chair.
You're
no,
in charge.
Please don't tell me.
You're
I'm
the president
chair.
Of the AI committee. God. Okay, but you're on the AI committee, and let's start by what is the role of that committee in terms of AI? What do you like? What kinds of questions will you answer?
From what I know, I don't really know what we're doing with that. We haven't actually had a meeting or anything like that for this committee. But right now, what people seem to be doing in the chat that we have dedicated to it is just sharing different articles about AI so we can learn as much as possible about what's happening out there. And that seems to be, we're just kind of in wait and see mode, right? Mm. We want to see what's going on. As far as actual policies, we want, like, the purpose of the committee is to learn about AI and then apply policy to our program. Mainly to keep students from cheating. I think that's the main concern around education, is that students will just use the AI. I wrote an article about it a few months ago, and I basically said that someone could use the AI to write a very insightful essay about The Great Gatsby, which is what I had to do in high school. That was one of my high school assignments. And basically that just says all of the English work you've done in high school is nothing. Like, anybody can use computers to do that, right? Which is true. And I mean, I couldn't get an answer. I actually interviewed people from every institution in the city, all the post-secondary and public schools as well, and none of them had a policy in place.
No, they don't.
None of them knew it. What was gonna? They're just in a wait and see because they don't want to police this. You've had to do a little bit of that, hey, over the last year or so.
There have been some instances of casual discussion. Nothing.
You haven't caught somebody using AI?
Oh no, I have.
Okay, yeah,
Because it's so new, it's not like a normal case of academic dishonesty yet.
Yeah.
But I think at some point it might be. I mean, you raised an interesting issue, which is we've had a long summer, and the institution where we work, I assumed we would come back and there would be a clear AI policy reviewed and approved by panels, all kinds of panels of people who all go, this is what we're doing. But I don't think there is.
No. So wait and see.
Yeah, so I think we are in that wait and see. I think you're right that most places, the people you talk to, most places don't have one. And that puts the onus on the instructor to figure out what AI means for the subject area that they're teaching. And in some places, it's very appropriate. In other places, it's not appropriate. I don't want the doctor taught by AI, right? Like, I don't want that.
Well, you never know, though. It could get to the point where a doctor can treat minor injuries. You can have a robot treating minor injuries, right? Come on.
Like a
droid, like in Star Wars, the little back-to-spray kind of droid.
I'm going to go in for my annual checkup and come out with an arm sticking out of my ass or something. There's something is good. By the way, that's every man's fear. I just hope there isn't an arm sticking out of my ass when I leave the doctor.
I just hope there's not one sticking into my ass.
Well, that's how it starts, right? And then some, I don't know. But anyway, I don't want the AI doing that at this juncture. And I still think, for me, my philosophy is there isn't AI as good for what I teach as the human brain.
True.
But there are tasks in the area in which I teach, for which AI might be quite reasonable and quite appropriate.
Yeah, and that seems to be the direction we all kind of, the thinking is going in, that it is a useful tool. It can do amazing things. There's no doubt about that. But that you need to use it with purpose and with forethought. And if you just try to use it to do your homework for you, for example, you're not going to actually learn what you're supposed to learn from that homework. By the way, you're coming into this program to learn things and to become a professional in a certain industry. You have to actually do the things. If you get AI to do it, you're not going to learn. So there's that. That was the answer I got from all those places, is that students who do this are just cheating themselves out of their education, bottom line, right? Which applies more to us in post-secondary than it does in high school, because in high school, nobody gives a shit. You're just there to, you have to be there. In post-secondary, hopefully they're here for a purpose to learn about a new profession. But you do raise a good point about how AI has affected the industries in which we teach, right? So we teach into journalism, advertising, public relations, and media production are the four streams in our program.
And then with some creative writing and et cetera on top of that. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So we also teach into creative writing. Yeah. It's really a writing-focused program. And of course, AI, ChatGPT being the main one, the main thing out there, can write anything. Apparently. So is this taking away the jobs that are out there for our students?
Well, there's ChatGPT, and then there's, and is it, my physiotherapist yesterday said, I use Dolly all the time for my visual images, and I've been calling it Doll-E, like Wall-E. That's how it's written.
Right.
Right? So I've been calling it Doll-E. Do you know how to pronounce it?
I don't know.
It?
I've never heard of it, actually.
He's like Dolly. Like, I bought a Dolly. Oh, okay. I bought a Barbie. Like, he sort of said it like this. So I'm not quite sure on the pronunciation, but... there's different AI for different tasks.
Yes, and there are visual ones and writing ones and different things like that. And so that's part of what we teach as well. We teach about, well, it's really what we're teaching is creative thought and coming up with concepts, and thinking about ideas, which is not what AI does. AI takes what has been done before and it scrapes the internet for everything similar to what you're asking for, and it puts together the most likely thing that you want. Right? So it's not actually coming up with new stuff. It's just repurposing what's been done.
I do believe there is some degree of machine learning that the algorithm learns from past questions.
So it can add to it?
I do believe that's the case. How does that work? That's why we're all scared of it. Well, the secret sauce is in the algorithm. But I noticed the New York Times last week, they updated their terms and conditions. And one of them is that AI may not scrape the New York Times for information.
But how can they enforce that?
That's a good question. I mean, I assume they can. I assume that it's like any intellectual property, where if there's evidence that you can, that's what's happened, then you can.
I know, but if there's so many bots out there doing it, how could you possibly enforce it, right? Like, there would just be, unless they have a blocker, unless there's some kind of AI blocker software where you can stop it. Maybe that is the case, and maybe everybody's going to start doing that. Anybody who puts out content is going to start doing that because they want to protect it, right?
Well, not anybody, but a lot of people would.
Hey, if I get copyright strikes on freaking TikTok for stupid videos that I posted, someone's going to get on this for sure. Some people get upset about the stupidest things.
I got a copyright block for doing an impression of Larry David. They thought I was a real guy? Like, that's the sincerest form of flattery, is to block me because they think I stole Larry David's image and likeness or shtick or something? Like, what is that about? But yeah, they'll block anything. But I don't know. And nobody really knows how AI works. Maybe not even the people working at ChatGPT or OpenAI. Know how that works, how it necessarily works, but there is an algorithm, I suppose, and there's some machine learning on top of that, and I guess we'll see. And I think what it is now, it's safe to say, is not what it will be in a month or a year or 20 years.
True, but I think that as far as taking actual jobs away, we're way far away from that. We're not going to see anything like that happen. You look at me like that.
I think
that.
So.
Okay, well, talk about before you started recording, you talked about AI written articles doing well in Google. What is that?
Yeah, a few times now I have Googled. Oh, I'm trying to think of an example, but you know, I'm watching something on TV and there's an actor, and you're like, wasn't there some kind of scandal with this actor? So you type scandal with actor's name or whatever, and the first six hits on Google are very badly AI. They appear to be written by AI because they do not follow any logical sequence whatsoever, but they're engineered to fool Google, I guess, or to make the algorithm work. And the articles are like, Many people are talking about this actor. Many people have said that they like this actor's movies. Many people, and it's just this very poorly. And
not
then,
actually giving you any information, no, right? And all vagues.
Yes,
vagaries and stuff.
And then okay. You get down to the middle of the thing, and then there's a subhead, and then there's a whole other
so
pile
of.
So
it looks like an article on the surface, and
yes.
It has all the right words in it.
It looks from the beginning. Wow. Oh, we're going to come, because you know all articles now are written, so they have to read the whole damn thing, so you spend more time.
Yep.
On the page, so you're like, I'm sure they're just about to get to this. So you're like, go, 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 and you get to the end, and really, you've learned nothing. You have not learned the thing you were looking for,
yeah.
Which is bad for Google.
Yeah.
By the way, and it's also bad. It's bad for people looking for information.
Well, and Google's making this worse with their whole restricting the news, because they're restricting the regular news in the feed. So you're gonna get whatever other crap is out there that was competing with this. Where you know before CTV might get put up there, now you're gonna get this instead. But that's awful. And here's the thing: that's gonna water down. First of all, it's gonna water down the brand of Google. People are not going to get what they want when they use Google, so they're going to stop using it. But also, this type of content, people are just going to not click on it. They're going to learn that it's crap. They're going to learn not to click on it. They're going to look for better content, better created content. And I think that is really the one bright shining star here is that humans do create better content in almost every case. I can't think of a time where an AI can create a better TV. I don't mean we don't know of any TV shows that have been created by AI yet, but I couldn't imagine a better TV show than something a person could come up with.
For emotional engagement, people are much better at that at this juncture in time. And I've seen an ad campaign that makes fun of AI generated stuff, but you only had about 6 months to get that campaign out. Was it Heinz? It was something like that. And it's good, and there's still a human making fun of AI.
Right.
Yeah. So you're still seeing that stuff. Something occurred to me this week that we forget about, and that is, remember when Google was great and there was no ads on Google?
Oh, yeah.
And it worked, and we used it because it worked, because it was amazing.
And it was clean. It was like you Googled it, and there was just the stuff you wanted, and that's it.
There's a whole generation of people who don't remember that.
No.
And in fact, we're aging out.
Yeah.
And Google knows. Google's like, for an entire, I don't know how many years of people, they understand that you're getting a bunch of junky choices.
It's ads. The whole, it used to be, if you couldn't get your Google search results on the front page, you're dead. There's no point in doing that. But now the entire front page is ads. Almost the entire front page. And there's a little bit at the bottom. I scroll. Automatic when I Google scroll. Because I know that the first couple are going to be ads. And I automatically want to get past those ads.
Yeah, right. And sometimes yes, sometimes no. Sometimes you do still get a clean, depends what you're searching.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get a good one, sometimes you don't. But for a bunch of young people, this is the only Google they've ever known.
Yeah.
And so we'll age out, and all the oldies who are like, remember when Google was good like us, we'll be gone. And they'll all be like, This is what Google looks like. This is how it works. This is the results that you get. Here's how we've trained our brains.
Okay, that's kind of journalism and news focused. And what I'll say as far as my job goes is that there's certainly nobody talking about AI taking away our jobs, because I think they know that we still need people to make the decisions about what stories to cover and how to cover those stories. But I don't doubt that they could someday create a local reporter AI. All you do is feed all the video and all the stuff that I use to make my articles into it, and it will pop up articles. I have no doubt that that's going to be a thing, but there will still be somebody overseeing it and running it.
I don't know. I've seen examples in local media, and probably you have too.
I've seen a lot of sports examples of AI. Yeah. Just sports, like, because nobody cares. Well, everybody cares about sports, but it's so easy to write that an AI can do it.
I have seen another news gathering service in town, not yours. Another one that you may be familiar with, but I won't say what it is.
Certainly companies are going to explore that as they scramble. It's no secret that CTV is in trouble. They've laid off a bunch of people again. And I've heard rumblings of like people up top in the higher things asking the CRTC for things like shutting down weekend news.
Sure.
And stuff like that. Like they're having a hard time. So certainly they're going to look at how they can incorporate AI. But I don't think it's going to... they're going to still cut the people because that's just what's happening. But AI is going to help us do our jobs better. I think as a journalist in 10 years, I'll be using AI to do my job for sure.
I don't know. I do think that there will get to a point where AI does replace people. I just do. I think because all you need is one person to read.
But that, and that's fine. Yeah. As long as there's one person involved, that's okay.
Well,
but right now there's like 10 people involved, and we don't need that many people.
Right. Well, that's just it. But that's that's how business decisions get
now,
made.
In my other ostensible profession, radio, or what I teach, that's the subject I teach here. As far as what AI has done in the radio field is quite interesting, because they do, of course, have voice AI. They have a person, you could speak to a person. You have a whatever they can create in text, they can create in voice, and the voice synthesizers are much better than they used to. Like, I mean, you have that "Hello, I am on TikTok" voice. Like, that is kind of meant to be computer like.
It's become a joke.
You can get really realistic sounding voices with this stuff. And so now on Spotify, they have an automatic AI DJ on here. I can't find it right now. But it is on here. Usually you can find, like, you know, they'll come on every couple songs and talk a little bit about whatever. A little bit of facts about the artist you just heard. It's exactly the same as a radio DJ.
Yeah.
It's the same. The only difference is that you don't know this person. You're not making a connection to this person. People who work in radio would argue that they build a connection with their audience. And I think that's true for to some degree. But as far as if you just want to have music to listen to and have somebody pop on and break it up a little bit with some talking, this is going to deliver that just fine. And I think that's rough for radio.
Well, radio formats existed to plug DJs into systems that worked. What this does is it takes it the next step, which is it plugs phony DJs into what they know works. That way you don't get like the classic rogue DJ making their own decisions for jokes and pranks and
calling the White House and stuff like that. Yeah, yeah.
The reason why at a certain point in time radio was so compelling was because the Wild Man Morning Zoo DJ.
Yeah, the 80s, yeah.
Who's like, we're going to tear it up, and we're going to get in trouble, and we're going to get fined, and we're going to blah, blah, blah. That's all. Like, this is a whole other mode of control over something that was compelling because there was no control.
As far as advertising goes, again, we're going to see, I mean, we're already seeing, speaking of voice generators, I know somebody in the industry who has used artificial voices in radio advertising.
Mm-hmm.
So that is going to be a thing. And then that's especially, I think they actually use it for children's voices, which has always been a challenge in radio because you can't work with kids, as you know. You're the one that taught me that.
Don't write kids into your ad. Like, I'm going to have 15 children having a conversation in this ad. You're like, really? That's what your plan is.
One of the first things I learned from you in school. Yeah. So if you can't cast a child, then it's because they can't act, but also because, you know, you just doesn't work that well. And because you also often will have adults doing kids' voices, which sounds awful. But and I often get students doing kids' voices, which sounds
terrible.
Awful. But I would be open to having students do AI kids' voices if they can make it work. So that's affecting production. Is it affecting copy? Is it affecting copywriting, do you think? Are we seeing AI written ads?
Oh, sure.
You think,
Yeah, there's
have
already.
You done that? By the way, have you tried doing that with it?
Yeah, I did. I tried it. I got AI to write a McDonald's ad.
Yeah.
It was good. It was competent, if bland. Which is always going to be that, right?
Yes.
The first prompt also is usually, the first prompt sounds like Wikipedia.
Yeah.
And then you hone it. Or whatever,
see, I think you spend with as much time as you spend trying to figure out the prompts and honing the prompts to get what you want, you might as well just write the damn thing, honestly.
How long does it take to write a 30-second ad? I mean, it's quick. But our students who are
still learning how to do it don't know that, right? And so they feel that they need to use AI to help them with that. But honestly, I think that, it's so bland and generic. Like, I was using – so the one time I've really used or tried to use AI to help myself is with my screenplay. I'm writing a screenplay, and one of the things I wanted to do was come up with some bios for my character, some background, character background, so they have something in my mind when I'm writing their dialogue and to help me inform what they're going to say. And so I was reading a bunch of screenplay books, and one guy's like, you got to write as detailed a bio as possible. I'm like, I don't want to do that. I can just like think of something. So I said, okay, well, let me try and get AI to do it for me. If I can get this AI to put together a solid, like, good bio of a character, and then I can look at that and say, okay, this is what this character is. So I tried, and it was so generic and boring.
Right.
So the character, for example, my main character is a filmmaker. He's an aspiring filmmaker who loves horror films. And I said that, and so I'll put it to you. Guess which horror films this person grew up loving. You just guess any horror film.
Grew up, how old is the person?
In the 80s. They would have been your age, actually.
What horror film did they love?
Like
Poltergeist.
No.
The Shining.
No. Okay, this is my theory's failing.
Hang on. No, one more guess.
The most popular horror movie of the early horror.
Where were we? 70s or 80s?
70. We're in 70s.
Oh,
actually.
70s?
This person, the movie's taking place in the 80s. This is going off the rails. It was Halloween. Oh, is what I was thinking of. This is.
I wanted one more guess. I was only thinking of They Live, but that's. but I was like, that was never the most popular.
That's a good movie.
But
the thing is, what I want. I want somebody who is a fan of They Live. I don't want somebody who's a fan of Halloween. So this thing writes a thing. So and so grew up in suburbia, and it's like every other character I've ever heard of in a movie. And I'm like, no, that's not what I want. So I rewrote it and I made him a fan of David Cronenberg.
Right.
I made him a fan of like all these more obscure things that I really like to make it more my own. And only I can do that. AI can't do that for me. So it's just not going to do it for me.
No. But you know, as I said, it's going to improve as it goes along. And I think, I mean, for, you know, I teach advertising. So for advertising, what you want is emotional connection. And I think, like, that's where the human brain is the best. And I think first-year students they tend to default to bland and boring, thinking that that way the teacher wants bland and boring is what they tend to think.
But also, it's more palatable to the masses, right?
I don't think it goes that far. Okay. I think it's like, for instance, when we do our Toad Hall Toys ad, it's quite common to just have a come down to Toad Hall Toys. We've got all these toys imported from 40 countries, stolen from the website, imported from 40 countries. Try our unique blend of fidget spinners.
But that happens in real life, Kenton. That is what advertising, you see it all the time.
Oh yeah, that's right. And it's shitty.
I know.
Like 90% of ads are terrible. So the first thing that I have to teach them is that's not acceptable. 10% is where you need to be. And what makes those 10% of good ads, although there's more now with content marketing, there's more good advertising than there's ever been, but people don't actually recognize it's advertising, which
is
kind
of... But there's also more bad advertising than there's ever been because of Facebook and Google and all these like automatically generated ads and all the, and AI, of course.
Not to mention the TV networks that are much more willing to take any garbage ad to air because they need to sell the space. Whereas in the old day, they would have like really stringent guidelines about what you can and can't
do
and what the quality of the video had to be. Whereas now it's like, how much you got? $2,000? All right.
You got $2,000 and an MP4? Yeah. We'll read it.
Right, that's right. There. It's more of that than I've ever seen, particularly those U.S. local stations where you see a lot of that.
Interesting. Yeah, I have one experience running a TV ad for Comic-Con, and I had so many hoops to jump through. I was shocked.
Yeah.
Because for radio, it's always been pretty simple. Like, audio is a lot more simple than video. So it is MP3s or WAV files for audio for radio ads. But for TV, it was like, no, it has to be this, and you have to use this file. Font and this and I'm like, holy crap, there's all kinds of stuff. But all this stuff's being simplified. We're getting off track here, but let's talk about TV actually, and talk about, you know, this is the current issue around the Hollywood strike, the writers and actors who are striking because they're worried about AI taking away their jobs. They're worried about a bunch of AI generated TV shows and movies. Are you worried about that, or do you care?
Yeah, of course. Who wouldn't be worried about it? I remember the first time Fred Astaire appeared, the dead Fred Astaire appeared in an ad, 1993 or 1994 or something like that. And people were like, what is this? You can't put a dead guy in an ad. This is disgusting. And then it was like, the estate of Fred Astaire says it's okay. Like, it was one of those kind of thing. I don't remember what the ad was, but I remember just creating outrage among, like, because there was more people who were fans of Fred Astaire, you know, having, since he had just not passed away that much earlier. But that has been replaced. And like, we make jokes about Grand Moff Tarkin claymation in Rogue One and some of that stuff. And it really is. And some of the scenes, frankly, in some of the superhero movies where they take, like, it is like it's an like an animated film, and some like that scene in the second Avengers movie where they all freeze frame and you can't help but notice they're all cartoons.
Yeah.
Like no real actors participated in this particular shot. I think the line between what is an animated movie and what isn't an animated movie is more confusing than ever. Mm-hmm. And there needs to be guidelines about that. I think the line, like if an actor is just delivering the voice, that's different than if an actor has to appear on set every day at 4 a.m. or whatever and act.
Yeah.
So I think like it cuts both ways. It cuts as a animation. It cuts as in live action. I do think I remember there's an episode of the Larry Sanders Show where Hank, his sidekick, Larry Sanders is like, you know, if I lose this show, I'm going to have nothing. I'm basically bankrupt. And he's like, no, you have something that nobody can take away from you. Your name and likeness. and I was like, it's a funny joke. It's a funny joke. Yeah. But that's an actor's stock.
It is, yeah. That's what they're upset about.
Right. We're going to just take this.
Yeah, and I think that you're right. But it's like the example I saw was, I don't remember the actor's name, but the guy who plays Ned Ryerson in Groundhog Day, you know that scene where Bill Murray's walking across the street?
Oh, yeah.
He's like, hey, and all that stuff. And I think he's an insurance salesman in that. The character's name is an insurance salesman trying to sell Bill Murray insurance. But for a Super Bowl ad, they wanted to take, now they wouldn't, they asked the actor, he wouldn't do it. State Farm wanted to take his likeness, that clip from that movie, and use AI to change his mouth to say, buy State Farm insurance, and make it the ad. Make that scene the ad for State Farm. That's an issue, I think. And I'm glad that they're not doing that. Did they do that? No,
they need the actor's permission.
They do, yes. They did. And they didn't do it, but they wanted to do that. They were proposing that.
What if you don't get the actor's permission, but you send the actor a check?
Well, that's like begging for forgiveness after. But here's another thing.
No,
I
but
saw.
You do it. No, you send them the check and say we're using. You do it in advance. Does that forgive the issue?
I don't know. I don't know what the laws are around it.
You pay them as a unionized actor. Yeah. I think probably there's less grounds.
Well, I think that's probably what they wanted to find in this new deal. They want to figure out that kind of stuff because that's a little too much of a gray area, right?
Like Steele Saunders, the Star Wars podcaster, said that they scanned. They scanned his body. He appeared as a background actor in Obi-Wan, and they scanned his body. And you have to sign something saying you might appear in other stuff.
Okay,
you might, but not you.
Well, that's you'd be like, oh, look at me. But I mean, if it's for Star Wars, maybe that's okay. I don't know. There was a thought I had.
Is it?
Well,
because where does it end? Do you have to be an actor with speaking roles to be considered separate from that? I mean, as it is, there's already deals. Part of the deal has to be if you're hired as a Star Wars actor now, the action figure, you're being compensated for everything. That you're getting scanned. There's an action figure. There's animation. Who knows what else there might be, right? I think we might even see in this new Ahsoka show, we might even see Carrie Fisher, Harrison Ford, and Mark Hamill, but not played by them.
Very possible. Yeah. And I think that, I just don't know if, I just think that people are going to, like, it's going to happen everywhere. No matter what, somebody is going to make a show with AI. It's going to be touted as the first AI show completely created, and it's going to be a big deal. It's probably going to be decent. Like, there's going to be one show that's going to be good that everyone's going to freak out, but then the quality is going to drop off, and it's quickly going to become, it's going to follow, because it is a cheap way of doing it. You get what you pay for. I think that almost always applies where the lower cost things are lower quality.
Yeah, I think, I mean, James Earl Jones made a deal where the voice of Darth Vader will be used in perpetuity without his participation because he's immortal. So he's amortal, a mortal being. So he's not immortal. Yeah, so his voice is immortal, though. His voice will continue.
And now they can just generate Darth Vader's voice, right? Yeah.
So, I mean, there's all those deals to be made. And once again, the other thing is the estates of dead celebrities where people need the money will be more inclined to approve any use than ones that are well protected, like probably your Bruce Springsteen's or your, although he sold his catalog, so we'll start seeing that show up.
Music? How is this going to affect music? One of our colleagues is talking about them using AI to create new Freddie Mercury hits or something like that. Like, what could you see that kind of thing happening?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, it's going to happen.
Would you be interested in something like that?
Paul McCartney says the next Beatles song is going to be coming out soon and that they use some degree of AI on it and everyone freaked out. But apparently what they used it for, I heard an interview with George Martin's son And he said they use it to separate the instruments, which they couldn't do before AI, to separate each one of them to put them together to work on the sound.
Oh, because these are from old recording sessions or something?
Yeah. Well, apparently it's a song John Lennon sang by himself in his living room. And so you get background noise and you've got something else and you gotta work on each little part of it.
Okay.
And then the other Beatles parts have to come in. But it's unclear. And then... Penn, of all people, from Penn and Teller, said he heard the song. He was like around getting a tour of the studio and heard it. And he made it sound like they made Paul McCartney's voice sound like it sounded when he was a younger man.
Huh.
This is all with his permission. This is with the Beatles, surviving Beatles and Spose's permission.
Yeah.
So we'll see what that's like. It's going to come out any day, I think. I can't remember when he said it was going to be released. Hmm. Two new Beatles songs? Based on some existing stuff. Some Beatles fans think they know what songs they are, but I don't think they've been named by anybody. Okay. So we'll see.
That's interesting. Not surprised at that. I'm sure it'll sell. I'm sure people will be excited about it, but still not as good as the real thing.
Well, right? I mean, we're going to see. We don't even know how we're going to see AI. Like, how about us as teachers? You know, like we're going to just be Tupac holograms with AI in us. We'll be rapping. They'll insert our classes into an AI algorithm, and it'll be wrapped by
holographic generated at the front. Yeah, and
to entertain the students.
Yeah,
yeah. That's exactly what it's going to be. And by the way, I should mention this at this fine institution where we teach. When I got hired here, it's like talk about AI. Like there's an old school version of AI, and I had to take a course, and the course was on VHS tape. And it was taught by an instructor who had passed away to instructors who had quit. So I was like watching, like it's an uncomfortable experience. And do you think the instructor who had passed away was getting paid for that training?
Or his family?
No. So I think there's some version of that, and sure. Maybe for lots of different jobs.
Yeah, that's true, right? Yeah. And so I think it's just a matter of finding how AI fits into those jobs. Some of them are going to go away. I think that's inevitable. I think we're just going to see an evolution. We're going to see these industries shrink as fewer and fewer people are involved, and AI takes away some of those jobs and takes away some of those responsibilities. Not complete jobs, but responsibilities.
Yeah.
But yeah, people will always be involved at the higher quality level, I will say. Like the lower quality, yes, they'll be completely... Oh, yes, I remember what I was going to say. I remember now what I was going to tell you about. I saw an ad on YouTube. It was Ryan Reynolds, but it was a completely AI-generated Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, yes.
And it was for mushrooms, for shrooms and weed. And it was a YouTube ad, and it's come get these mushrooms, da da da. And it was like, it looked like Ryan Reynolds in Free Guy, like a blue shirt kind of character that he does. And like, holy shit, how can this be allowed? How can this be?
He's on board that, though.
No, it's not. I don't think so. Why? Is he running that?
Well, I saw him a while ago post, this is an ad written by AI in the voice of Ryan Reynolds. Could that be the ad?
I don't know. It didn't look legit to me because I don't think you're allowed to sell those things in Canada. Well, you are allowed to sell cannabis, but not mushrooms. There was an incident in Winnipeg a couple months ago. Anyway, it was weird. It was weird. But this kind of stuff is happening all the time. So you can see people, and they're doing it without any permission. They're creating an AI Ryan Reynolds to sell their product. And people are not, less discerning people than me are not.
I mean, you can't do that, though.
Well, they are.
Even fooling people with sound-alikes isn't allowed in advertising.
No.
Like, that's been proven. Tom Waits and Bette Midler sued for things that sounded like them, but that was not them. So I don't know. Like, we're seeing so much of that online now. The is this okay? Is this not okay? And it's like,
I think someone needs to take a closer look at it because it's happening and people are not, like, there's nobody really regulating, I don't think, any of this advertising that I'm seeing. I see all kinds of crazy stuff. Vaping ads, cigarette ads, all kinds of stuff on YouTube all the time.
Well, we lowly users get banned for copyright infringement all the time. Yeah. But if you're paying as an advertiser, one thing I've learned is when you're paying as an advertiser using online ads, the world stops for you.
Yeah.
And everything were, and hey, you could phone somebody and talk to them at Google. Like all the stuff that the regular schmoes are like, I got banned. Who do I talk to? Nobody. Like, I'm an advertiser. Oh, right this
Hello,
way.
Sir. Come on
here,
in.
Call this number. Thank you very much.
Yeah, talk to a real person. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's why we see the stuff we see. They're in the money-making business, and the way you do that is by selling ads. And I don't know, unless somebody comes, like, nobody wants to pay for a subscription for anything anymore.
Well, they'll pay for a Netflix subscription. They'll pay for streaming services.
Yeah,
kind of,
but even like Netflix had to crack down on that password sharing. Like every one has its version of people trying to bypass to get something for free. And then either you do something about it and it just collapses everything, or you do something about it and you see what happens. I mean, a paywall is an example of that.
Right.
That was the original. We didn't need Google to block it. The news organization blocked itself.
And they're still doing that.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I know. It's such a weird situation. And honestly, I don't know what the answer is going to be. I just know that it's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out.
So what are you going to do in your class? What are you going to say?
The only thing I say about AI is that, I'll say that anybody who uses it for an assignment is using it to their own detriment. They're not going to get what they're supposed to get out of the assignment or the exercise. I don't know that there's a lot that they can do to fool me at this point, because a lot of my assignments involve recording their voices and I have to know it's actually them. But for writing assignments, I mean, I had one student who I suspected used it, but it did still result in a good assignment. And I don't think that using it to complete your assignments is actually necessarily a bad thing. You're still getting the document that you need to get. So if you're using it to write an email or something, as long as that email's conveying what's supposed to convey, go ahead. It's kind of what I'm getting at. But that won't apply to a lot of the assignments that I do. But as far as it taking away jobs, I'm going to tell students that radio is a mess, that there are no jobs in radio anyway, and it's not coming for journalism jobs yet.
Yeah, you know what's interesting? I've been hearing more traditional sounding ads on podcasts suddenly.
Yeah.
It's more well, like wacky voices. Yeah,
they're trying to find, like, it's all existing stuff that has been running on radio, but they're trying to find more of an audience on podcasts. And podcasts continue to grow.
Yeah.
The difference, of course, being that podcasts are connected to our phones for the most part, whereas radio is connected to the car. And during the pandemic, that commute was interrupted and not as many people, they stopped driving, they stopped listening to the radio, and they started listening to podcasts or doing other things.
Yeah.
And so radio really hasn't recovered from that. And also, of course, because radio is bread and butter, has been local businessing, advertising, and local businesses haven't recovered from the pandemic yet. So they're not advertising as much. And when they do advertise, they're tending to go with Google and Facebook and the easy to use cheap ones, because they can just test it out, right?
$30,
let's see what happens. And that's why the advertising industry is failing.
Yeah, and I've also noticed that programmatic inserts, like automatic real-time bidding inserts into podcasts, have dropped off too.
Yeah,
like you used to hear a local Winnipeg ad during the New York Times podcast, and now they go, "We'll be right back. Welcome back," and there's no ad in the spot.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, this is a topic for another podcast, but I think if they cracked down it and they got rid of all the shitty cheap options for people and took those off the table and forced people to look for better advertising options, that would kind of stabilize the whole media landscape.
Yeah.
So that's what I might actually write a letter to my who is it?
City councilor?
No.
Just kidding.
Let's not get into that. Anyway, what else? Anything else?
Well, I think, as the ChatGPT always says, that's one of the tells. In conclusion.
And that's one of the things I hate. When students write that, I'm saying not necessary.
Yeah.
I cross that out.
By the way, we had students try to get into our program using ChatGPT and who did not even remove the prompt that they typed in. Okay, classic. And I asked today what happened to those folks. And what happened was they did not get a welcome letter. They did not get an invitation to come. And, you know, if you didn't even bother to hide the prompt or hide that it's ChatGPT, I don't know. Then what are we even doing here if that's
exactly
the case? But I think in conclusion, we're headed to Wall-E. I mentioned Wall-E. Let's bring it all together. We're headed to the world of Wall-E, where human beings just laze around a pool, eating grapes, drinking wine,
drinking everything out of a cup and floating around in their chairs.
That robots do it all.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Or it's going to be the Terminator. It's the two possibilities here.
Hey, and I had another idea this week. They don't need us anymore, right? They don't need us to do our jobs. None of us anymore. It'll all be AI. We'll all become firefighters. Huh? Hey, I'm always thinking.
There you go.
We need firefighters more than we need writers. Yeah.
Yeah, right now we do.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's go. Let's finish up with some recommendations. What have you been watching this week, Kenton?
Okay. Well, I'm on a Korean TV show, Kick, and I've watched like everything. My last one on my list was Extraordinary Attorney Wu on Netflix. Extraordinary Attorney Wu on Netflix.
Okay.
And I am blown away by how great this show is. It's lovely and delightful. We'll start with that. The actor portraying Extraordinary Attorney Wu is incredible. It shouldn't work. She is an autistic attorney. She is not played by an autistic person. So right away you go, uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
This could be really bad.
There's that doctor show. Yeah. Like, that people have done that in the past.
Yes. It's happened. Ricky Gervais. Man. Ricky Gervais did a lovely job in Derek.
Yes.
But you know, you think to yourself, this can't be good. And it really is a sensitive portrayal and a feel-good portrayal and just great comedy, great office style drama, like courtroom stuff. There's 16 episodes and each one's about an hour. I'm 8 episodes in and I'm just like, I've been charmed by Extraordinary Attorney Wu. And I said, and I went out for pizza this week with my parents. I was like, you guys, because they would love Netflix. Like, that's their only streaming, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, you guys got to watch Extraordinary Attorney Wu. And they're like, we already saw it. All right, so somebody who has Netflix and only Netflix has probably already seen it. But
right.
For the rest of us, hey, give it a shot. I think you will get a real kick out of it.
That is awesome. Yeah, yeah. I started watching that Physical 100 show that told me about, and that was pretty interesting. So
it's funny.
I'll check that one as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. What should I talk about? Yeah. I have been watching. Well, okay. Here, I know you've already watched this, but I'll talk about it anyway. I finally got around to watching the final season of Stranger Things. Is this the final season, or is there going to be more?
No, there's another one.
Is there another one? Okay. Well, I'm the most recent season of Stranger Things, and I'm pleasantly surprised.
Have you finished it?
No.
Okay. You hold that thought until you're finished.
What I'll say about it so far is that I was kind of like, at the time, I just thought that they really messed up their marketing. They turned me off with the way they rolled it out with these parts. And the other thing that seems weird about it is that the episodes are all over the place as far as length goes. Like, they're just like 1.5 hours, 1 hour, 2.5 hours, one of the episodes are. What is going on with that? And I could find, like, there's things... I'm watching the show, and I'm like, okay, this is a good stopping point. Stop. Like, if I can find those points, why can't they? So why did they do it that way? I don't know. But I have enjoyed this story. I like what they've done with the larger world of this and how they tied all back to the first season. And so I have enjoyed it. I've enjoyed the new characters, but maybe they pissed people off at the ending. I don't know. I have one episode left in that season.
I'm not going to spoil anything, but my feeling about that season was... I was interested enough to keep watching, so I'm with you, and in that and saying there's enough in there where I was like, but I was also with you in the how long is this one, and like, yeah, I'm just gonna stop it here.
Right. And I think that messes with the way people watch things these days. I mean, I don't know about you. I took me 3 days to get through Close Encounters of the Third Kind because it's like 2.5 hours long and it drags, and I've seen it a bunch of times.
That's one of my favorite movies.
I know, but I've seen it so many times. Yeah. Like when they get to the part where they're like evacuating on the train, I'm like, okay, I'll stop it there. But and same thing with this kind of stuff is that when it's too long, I'm just gonna stop it. And they should know that. They should figure out. But I guess they're really just designing this all to be binged. They don't do like a previously on kind of thing for Stranger Things because they figure you're just gonna watch them all in a row.
Right.
I don't know. It's a weird way of doing it. I don't binge generally anything. I just tend to watch one episode at a time for shows. But they really are going after that. Anyway, I liked it.
What do you think of that B plot in Russia?
I don't know. It's interesting, but I don't understand it. I don't understand the point of it. I guess I'll find out. But it's like, it's like we need something for these guys to do. So let's send them
to Russia. It's a little. We need something to do.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to spoil anything once again. But I think what I'm curious to know from you by the end. Does the TV show have the courage of its own convictions? Was a question I asked myself. And I want to know what you think of the finale. That's really, like, in my mind at this point, I don't need to watch Stranger Things anymore. I think I've
seen... So you're not going to watch the next season?
I'm done.
Okay.
And unless... Kate Bush shows up. She sings her song.
I got to tell you, I got really sick of that song. That is, and over again.
Yeah, like, should we gift wrap that for Kate Bush? Should we put a nice bow? Should we send it to her in the mail?
But in the story, isn't this supposed to be the entire album that she's listening to keep the evil guy away? Like, let's hear some other songs.
Just
on that
a
album.
Single song. Hey, by the way, that whole first side is hits of that album.
Yeah, that's right.
Let's hear track two. Okay, let's keep going. Oh my God. Yeah. There. I mean, but gift wrapped for Kate Bush. I love Kate Bush, so I'm glad she got a big bounce out of it. Mm-hmm. But I think, yeah, I think I'm done with Stranger Things. I think I'm like.
Well, I'm surprised they're doing another season, to be honest. I figured that they would, like, the kids are getting to the point where they're, like, in university at this time stage. So why are we still, you can't only do a show for that long when you have kids involved like that.
No, they're older than us at this point somehow. Somehow they've aged past us since we started watching the show. That's a show. The kids on the show age greater than we do. But you're right. The cute shenanigans of children become not cute when Urkel ages out and suddenly...
every single time they've done that on TV or anywhere else with children actors, child actors, that's what happens. Okay, there you go. So maybe I won't recommend Stranger Things.
You should because it's a diversity of opinions, but I still want to know what you think.
All right, I will, and I'll report back on the podcast. I'll do that next week. I'm sure I will finish this by next week.
So yeah, all back. I'm saying is for me, the finale was like, okay. All right. Here, I'm good.
That's going to do it for this episode of Media Nerds. I'm Dan Vadebonker.
I'm Kenton Larson. Don't let the door hit you in the ass.